PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling at Crespediso Studio with Drew Skogman. Drew, how you doing, Drew?
I'm doing. What's up, dude?
Word up, dude. Oh,
word up.
No, that's you.
It's the code word.
Word is the code.
No matter where you say it, you know that you'll be heard. Right? Cameo. Have you ever seen the video for that?
Cameo.
Have you ever seen the music video for that song?
I don't think I... Yeah, you know, I think I have.
Oh, no, you would remember, Chris. He's walking around the city with a giant red cod piece.
I've seen a lot of music videos featuring red cod pieces, Drew.
So no, you have not. Not like this.
They all blended together over time, I gotta say. Drew Skogman. There you go.
Thanks.
Did I give you one of those?
I don't know.
There you go. I got some stories here. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's the thing we do.
Is it?
Sometimes.
Is that why I'm here? Sitting in this seat, talking to you with a microphone in front of my face.
It's like a tertiary reason why you're here. I'm sure. This week in rape culture. The Weinstein Company had to file for bankruptcy because their sale didn't go through. Mm-hmm. In their bankruptcy proceedings and the filings, I should say, they put in there that all non-disclosure agreements are now nullified. Former Weinstein Company employees now free to speak without fear of legal reprisal about the things they've witnessed or experienced whilst working there for years.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
It should be. It should be. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, the Manhattan DA's office, Cy Vance Jr., I think is this guy's name, one of his biggest donors for his election campaign for DA, Harvey Weinstein, one of the people that he has been protecting over the years, Harvey Weinstein. So where it has come out, like it's been reported now that the sex crimes unit, the Law and Order SVU, that, you know, Chris Bologna and Ice-T, they're like, yo, Ice-T was like, this DA, he's trying to discredit all victims. So they had to. That was okay. Yeah. I never really tried one before, though. That was my first. That was my first attempt ever at
that
an ice
tea. More Mike Tyson.
That was more of a Mike Tyson. So Mike Tyson's on Law and Order. He's like, listen, Chris Maloney. And Chris Maloney's like, you gotta use my character's name. I don't know.
It's all right. Neither do I. I have no idea what's his name.
Detective Bob.
Detective somebody.
Detective Balding.
He might not even be a detective.
Right. Sergeant. The NYPD, they're like, what specifically had happened was a model was assaulted by Weinstein, and she went to the NYPD, and at that point, even then, they were very suspicious of giving those kind of cases, high-profile cases, at a DA's office, but they called one person. It's like, all right, this is what we got. This is what we're working on. And the DA's office sent people to the victim's where she lives and started like grilling her roommates and was like, does she drink a lot? How does she dress? Does she bring a lot of guys over? And they were trying to discredit her. The DA's office, who was supposed to be investigating the crime, was trying to discredit the victim first instead of trying to corroborate her story. So then the sex crimes unit had to be like, all right, now we have to like literally hide our victims from the prosecutor, the people that's supposed to be on our side, the taxpayer side. They're working for the big pig monster known as Harvey Weinstein. And now, since that all those details have gotten out, and all the evidence over the years of all these unprosecuted cases, as now it's like on hindsight, 2020, that type of thing, the governor's office, Governor Cuomo, put out a statement saying that we are launching, there's an investigation.
There's an investigation into the investigation.
We're investigating the investigations. It's a 45-day investigation. Shit's getting investigated, yo. We want answers. Oh. So then the government, he's Governor Cuomo, meanwhile, not running for re-election of governor of New York, despite being very well liked, I believe. Possible 2020 run? No one cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, he's not on TV. No one cares.
He needs to get on TV.
Get your ass on TV. Get yourself a reality show. Get on Survivor. Win it. Or don't.
And then become president.
And then become president. That's all it takes. Cynthia Nixon announced that she was running for governor of... She's running for governor of New York. Cynthia Nixon. Probably best known for being one of the lasses in Sex and the City. And,
oh, yeah. I saw that article.
Right. And I saw a tweet. You know how anecdotal. This could be bullshit. But I saw a tweet. Someone said... this person went to an acting class and the teacher said, just because you deal with actors, never underestimate their intelligence. Mm-hmm. And the one person they used as an example randomly that day years ago was Cynthia Nixon.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently she's a secret genius. And now she's running for office. And my mom was like, you can't believe she's an actress. What does she know? I'm like, Mom, we got a reality TV star president. It's all out the window now.
Do you understand that Arnold Schwarzenegger ran California for how many years?
Yeah, and then she had to admit, like, actually, he was a pretty good governor. It's like, yeah, see, California did all right. Yeah. He did okay. Governor Ronald Reagan turned himself into...
President Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Crazy assholes.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Good for you, Cynthia Nixon. And besides, Governor Nixon. Doesn't it sound good? It's like we've been there before. I worked on that joke previously.
The funny thing is, when you said Cynthia Nixon, I didn't know who you were talking about, and I was about to say, any relation to...
Tricky Dick.
Tricky Dick.
Tricky Synth. Speaking of Richard Nixon, Simon Pegg. That's the worst segue ever. Simon Pegg, someone asked him about the Quentin Tarantino's involvement on the new Star Trek.
Okay.
Because a lot of people out there are misreporting that Tarantino's like straight up writing and directing a Star Trek movie, which is absurd.
But I thought he was doing that.
He's doing the 1969 movie, which is his ninth movie, and then he's doing a tenth movie, and then he's done. One of those movies is not being, quote, wasted on a Star Trek movie, right? But a lot of people are like, oh, no, he's working on it. Because he has announced that, yeah, he's working with J.J. Abrams. They're working on it together. But, all right, Simon Pegg clarifies. On Tarantino, I don't think he's written an R-rated Star Trek script. I think what happened is he went to J.J. with an idea that he's had for a while. I remember he told us about it a long time ago. I think he told me and Edgar about it a long time ago. He just put it to J.J., and I think J.J. is just considering putting it into a writing room. We got an email just saying, guess what? Guess who came into the office the other day? So I don't know much about it other than it's in the mix, so we'll see. He simply just pitched him an idea, and the Star Trek folks may just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tarantino's back in the Tarantino-verse. Tarantino-ing it up. That's hard to turn him into a present tense, current tense for present. Tarantino-ing.
That's a lot of tease, Chris. You just had a long run of tease.
People aren't averse to T sounds. There's got to be a phobia for like T-phobic.
No, my ears.
I mean, we are getting a Danny Boyle, James Bond. Why not get a Tarantino Star Trek?
I mean, if that's what he wants to do.
That's what he wants to do.
I'm totally okay with it.
Then we can get a Spike Lee comic book movie. Ava DuVernay, she's doing New Gods.
No.
New Gods. A little bit of recognition. No. New Gods, I mean, it's not like I knew. I had to click on it to read about it. I'm like, oh, okay. That's where DC, that's where Apocalypse comes from.
Okay.
He was introduced through this New Gods array of characters, I think from the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's just exactly what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Like
godlike.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what she's going to do. That's her next project for DC.
Interesting.
A New Gods movie.
Most exciting thing I'm interested for in DC is this new DC Black Label, it's like their R-rated comic books.
Oh, in the comic world, what's going on there?
It's just they're going heavy, going hard. Should be interesting
with like the established characters or
no? Okay. So like if you want to know like what happens when Batman goes too far, I'm sure we'll get one where Batman actually kills somebody.
Oh boy, that's not gonna be good. That can't be good for Batman.
Well, exactly. But on DC Black Label, you know, you give writers the room to do what they want. If Batman dies, so be it. It's not like he's part, you know, this DC Black Label, it's not like it's tied to...
It's an Elseworld situation.
Exactly.
It's a Marvel what-if style.
Yes.
Uatu the Watcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I mean...
So it gives them liberty to do what they want.
And I think That's cool. Maybe DC Warner Brothers will then take cues from some of those storylines for movies in the future. Because it looks like they may be abandoning the whole Titan continuity universe thing after the failure that is Justice League. Because Justice League is a failure, but apparently the lowest grossing DC film.
Of all that.
So not only did they try to reverse, they did the reverse Marvel and
failed.
Yeah, like we're instead of doing the long build up to Avengers, they're like we're gonna do it backwards of Batman versus Superman and try to do this thing. Not only did they fuck that up, they also reversed the whole. The first movie makes the least amount of money, the last one makes the most, like Marvel style.
Yeah.
And like, nope, the first one made the most, and then we're just going downhill. It's like a giant turd rolling down a mountain.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. That's why Geoff Johns is out over there at DC, and the Conjuring guy is in, which is like, what? Is that why then we got a new Gods movie coming out? Because the Conjuring guy is like, yeah.
Maybe. He's like, I want new ideas, because everything we tried before did not work.
And for sure, James Wan had something to do with, because he's doing Aquaman. He's sticking around. He's had to have influence there on, like, bringing this guy. We got Insidious going. We got The Conjuring, Annabelle, all this stuff. That's all a shared universe. I think Insidious is a shared universe with The Conjuring. The Warrens, right? That's all about these people who made up all this exorcism shit.
I don't know. Fun idea.
And then people treat them like it's real. We talked about this off mic, but it's playing here this weekend. Steven Soderbergh's Unsane psychological thriller.
Yep. Filmed on the iPhone 7.
iPhone 7. Entirely on the iPhone 7. Here's a quote from someone on the movie about making a movie with an iPhone. It was really fun to shoot a movie on an iPhone because it's portable and you don't need a ton of light. And it's also such an... This is interesting. This is why I pulled this quote. It's such an omnipresent piece of technology in all of our lives at this point that it removes the kind of barrier, that sense of elevation that you sometimes feel on film sets, where it's film with a capital F, and this was much more like, let's go get in the room and play. Huh. So it's like... Instead of you have a huge film set, you're looking at all these people, there's Butch over there holding the boom mic. And
exactly.
You know, it's just Steven Soderbergh holding a phone.
Like, what's up? How's it going?
How's it going, guys?
Welcome to set.
Act.
Everybody take out your phone.
Go. Steven Soderbergh was so good at just being in a place of getting a shot where you'd probably think we need to do that again. And he'd be like, oh, no, that's fantastic. I got it. Trust me. It's quick. Very quick. So there you go. Steven Soderbergh famously retiring from filmmaking. And during his 5-year hiatus of not filmmaking, he made 2 seasons of The Nick. And I think he did so much. And then he was like, you know what? I don't want to make movies again.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
I'm also producing Ocean's 11, or Ocean's 8, excuse me. And probably, you know, I bet you he shot it too. Because he's the type of guy who shoots his movies under a pseudonym.
Okay.
So if you ever see cinematographer Peter Andrews, that's Steven Soderbergh.
Okay.
Let me see. Logan Lucky, his first movie back. Magic Mike XXL, which he did not direct.
Yeah.
Cinematographer. The Nick, he shot all that himself. Beyond the Candelabra was what he did for HBO.
Of course he shot it all himself. That's why I look so good.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. It's just everything's just great framing. Just the camera never moves unless it has to. Whenever you watch this, that's why I'm interested in a psychological thriller. Usually a lot of camera work going on in those type of movies. And he's like, nope, we're putting this on a tripod. But then it's the whole thing's done with a phone, so it's gonna be way more handheld. I haven't watched any trailers or nothing. I Soderbergh, I trust him.
Yeah.
I'll stay away.
No, exactly.
I'll go into this movie clean. Unsullied by expectations, right?
No.
Expectations are important. That's why I'm trying to keep them so low for the Pacific Rim Uprising. Drew, you pointed out the robots have abs.
Yes.
Why does the robot have abs?
Because he's a sexy robot.
Those robot designers are like feeling really self-conscious about how they look.
He has to get those hot robot ladies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I spend all the time doing all those robot crunches.
Yeah.
The robo crunches. So we can get those robo abs. He's got abs.
He does.
Biceps and forearms and thighs.
It's weird. Oddly human. And we did
a
side-by-side comparison for the first one.
The first movie.
It's freaky.
First movie is way more robo-looking.
Well, I have a feeling the first one's way better of a movie.
Probably.
All around. Probably.
We'll see. We just gotta go like, look, this is a different movie, right?
No, it is.
I mean, it's...
I'm totally cool with that.
Just...
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's not a giant piece of shit.
I don't think it'll be a giant... I don't think it is. based on
based
on reviews that I'm seeing, I don't think it's a giant piece of shit.
What if it Justice Leagues you?
And it's like ambivalence right down the middle. It's like, oh, this could have been good, but it could have been bad, but it's what it is. It's the worst.
It really is.
That really is the worst outcome. Because that's a neighbor to boredom. It's not exactly bored, but boredom is living right next door and like threatening to come over at any second to raid your fridge. It's yeah, like waving at you through the waving through the window.
Hey, buddy.
And then you hide behind a curtain. He's gonna see us. Let me come over. Then you hear a ding dong. Like, fuck.
Easier.
Boredom's here. All right, I'm going to bed. We're getting a Thor Union. Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Thor, in case you're wondering. Tessa Thompson. Not Thor.
What, they Valkyrie?
They play two separate characters.
Is that her name?
Valkyrie. Well, she was one of the Valkyrie, but then they called it Valkyrie.
But exactly.
Yeah.
They kind of just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, because they were the Valkyrie, the group, right? But she was like the only one left.
Yeah.
So like, well, now you're just Valkyrie.
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, lazy, right? Lazy?
Yeah.
Could have called her Val. What's up, Val? Anyway.
Mr. Kilmer.
Ms.
Kilmer. I mean, shit.
I mean, Thompson. Ms. Thompson. They are re-teaming these two, Thompson and Hemsworth, for the new Men in Black movie.
Okay.
Yep. New Men in Black movie. They will be two agents paired together in a movie that will be a little less duo-centric, apparently a bit more of an ensemble, but they will be like sort of the ones that we're following mostly. Probably the ones that they'll be sold on, the two of them. And
they'll be on the poster.
They'll be on the poster, front and center on the poster. And then the whole idea is that it's like, you know, same universe. It's not a... new generation type of thing, you know, so sort of a sequel, but so you won't be seeing Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones unless there's maybe a Will Smith cameo of some sort. I could see a Will Smith cameo real quick, like a fun one. Tommy Lee Jones, though, isn't it?
Really, you don't think they're going to go to Tommy Lee Jones back at the post office?
Maybe the unused footage.
Like I said, just on the screen.
An unused shot.
On one of the TV screens, because you know all the weird shit they put on those screens.
They'll ask his permission, like, can we CG your old face onto a TV screen in the background? And I'll be like, for $60,000. All right, $60,000, Mr. Jones, thank you. And then he's like, get off my farm. Like, yes, sir, thank you. There's business done here. He cocks a shotgun.
Yep.
God damn, this guy is brutal. I think it'll be fun. It'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it. And then if you, I'm reading this on Cinema Blend on their website, and then it's fun when you go into the comments and you can see. So
everyone's just, rah!
The story is simply, not even just that, the story is simply, it's Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, those are your two. Okay. Commenter, Prophet, you know, this is going to go great already. Great, the feminist conspiracy to ruin men's films, all caps, takes down another one, exclamation point. Every day, there's less and less reasons for me to ever go to the movies again, smiley face emoticon. Someone tweeted a little further down, Snickster face tweeted, or commented, why is Hemsworth in anything other than Thor? Hemsworth here. Prophet replies, after his symbolic castration in Ragnarok, parentheses, the writers took his Samson-esque locks, his father, and his hammer, exclamation point, close parentheses. I'm predicting those same feminist forces will kill him off in Avengers, thus we'll have time to do other things. Sad face, emoticon.
Cool.
These are people. We live in a world with these people, Drew.
Yes, and they have fun little platforms in which to voice their absurd opinions.
That's it?
Yeah.
So just in case you're wondering, the feminist agenda to take down men is raging and it's doing its job. Good job.
I mean,
feminist, dude, men that, hating that, feminist.
That feminist agenda is making some damn good movies.
Mm-hmm. Damn good movies about castrating men by cutting their hair?
Cutting their hair and shattering their hammer.
Hemsworth, of all people, was the happiest to get rid of that wig.
I'm so sure.
Because it was a fucking. He in the press, he's like, oh, it was so great to do a movie with just my natural hair. Black lady is what I'm talking about. It's all about that natural hair, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we got all these douchebags and all this shit here in America with all their voices. But we got to, at least, like you said, they have a platform. People have their platform to espouse their shit. And we have that platform because we are in America. Mm-hmm. Problems and all. Probably one of the best places in the world in order to be able to speak the way we want to speak and live the way we want to do. In that, like, I can be like, fuck Donald Trump.
Yes.
And then I could title this episode, fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And then I could put it on my notes, the show notes. I could just ignore what we talk about and just have some sort of manifesto about how he is the worst and Republicans are terrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, government is screwing things up, et cetera, et cetera.
And you won't get shot.
I won't get shot. I won't get imprisoned. I won't have all my shit shut down. I won't, you know, I won't get black bagged in the middle of the night, thrown into a white van and taking never some sort of plaid hellscape. I'll never be seen again, right? Other places around the world, this does happen. And it was like that for a very long time in China. And they were loosening their grip a little bit on communism, doing this communism capitalist hybrid thing where they were just expanding their middle class, bringing some monies, but also while with extreme government control.
So government's one of the profits.
Government is one of the profits. And that government control is getting tighter. Their president, was it a president? I don't even know anymore.
Because no, these days, well,
he's extended his his term indefinitely.
Yeah, he's going to
be... Do it at People's Congress.
Yeah, he's going to be dictator for life.
So he's a dictator now. He's pretty much... He's pulling a Putin, but without the sham elections. He's like, we're skipping the sham elections.
I'm just going straight to...
I'm just going to stick around for a while. Yeah. And the reason why that passed via the government is because it's a one-party government. There's no dissenting party. China, second largest film market in the world. They tried their foray into the global blockbusters with The Great Wall. News to China, you can't make a global blockbuster on $44 million. You need to throw more money in that thing.
Another 100.
Minimum. Minimum 100. Pacific Rim Uprising, 155.
I said throw another 100. So
that's what I'm saying.
That's 144.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, minimum another 100. Yeah, so like, yeah, like Pacific Rim is 155 million. And that one's costing 40 million less than the first one.
Yeah,
that ain't gonna cut it, China. And, but what they're doing now is they have the China Film Group controlling what movies are seen in what theaters. They've been government run entity, been doing it for years. And that group, however, was run by like the China Film Group was run by one division of the government.
Yeah.
That got moved around. China Film Group now under their propaganda division. They straight up call it Department of Propaganda.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have been using our film industry to promote our policies of and course. You know, obviously, and we want to replicate last year was Wolf Warrior 2, I think, and something else. Two big patriotic movies came out last year that made a ton of money, and they're like, we're gonna keep hammering that home, and we're gonna now use our propaganda department to make sure that stays on point. Also to make sure, you know, certain Western films don't make it into obviously. So just want to take a moment to be like, God bless the USA, etc., etc. I love Trump. And this is the best place to be in America. Support the troops. Support the wars. Support GE. Because without GE, they'd blow us up.
Yeah, they would blow us up.
Unless you live in Austin, in which case you're being blown up by your own people. But that guy's not a terrorist.
He's just some crazy asshole.
No, not even a crazy asshole. Even? He was a challenged young man is what the sheriff's office called him.
Interesting.
Challenged young man. Yeah, not a bomber, not a terrorist.
Just like mailing explosives?
Was he what?
Just like... mailing explosives?
Yeah, he was just like a challenge young man. It was just like mailing explosives. Actually, he was only mailing that last one.
Oh.
And the one that blew up at the facility.
Yeah.
And then they used that footage to finally track him down. That was the only one he tried to mail. The other ones, he was just leaving around. Mm. Yeah.
So he just liked making bombs and leaving them places?
Making bombs and leaving them places. Initially, he was leaving primarily... not primarily. Initially, his first three bombs were in exclusively like... black and Hispanic neighborhoods,
because
and leaving them with prominent people like in the communities, prominent black people and an elderly Hispanic lady got blown up. But then one bomb they left that was a tripwire bomb. That was set in an area that was like right by a school, and they think he was trying to do something that some kids would set off, and it was like a white neighborhood. So that threw a whole monkey wrench into the whole. What are his motives?
Yeah,
so we don't know. But, you know,
he just likes blowing stuff up.
He just likes blowing stuff up and especially terrorizing people. Now, we do have his identity, and they did check his social media, because that's the first thing you do now when anything like this happens. You scrub their social medias to try to put together an amateur profile. And he, very young person, homeschooled, young white man, Christian conservative, who on his blog said that he was conservative, but wanted to learn more about governments and positions before he took any hardline stances. He wasn't coming across as a radical. Mm. So that's really confusing to people. Mm. So he's a challenged young man. Mm. Yeah, just a challenged young man. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's mm-hmm. all he is. Disappointed with his station in life. Had a job, got let go. Mm. So he must have really sucked at it.
Yep.
And he was taking community college classes in civics and government and stuff.
You good for him?
Yep. And then making bombs on the side. Trying to figure out how he did that. YouTube videos. They're searching his internet history to see. Because he made some pretty decent... The bombs were decent enough that they were like, we think this is ex-military.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was making the old shrapnel bombs.
Interesting.
And they're like, these are sophisticated enough that it's a military dude. It's like, nope.
Nope.
Some fucking community college homeschool kid who got fired from his job.
Taught himself how to make bombs.
And was still living a cushy little life as a white boy in America and Texas.
Yep.
And he's still unhappy for some reason. I wonder why. Mm. There's a New York Times opinion piece going around that's titled America Doesn't Have a Gun Problem. We have a white people problem. Or a white... No, there's two of them. I'm conflating articles. New York Times opinion piece says we don't have a gun problem. We have a boy problem. When was the last female mass shooter you heard of?
They don't exist. They're all men.
They don't exist. They're all men. And then the other article I read, which is from The Root, which is trigger warning for, I don't know who's listening to this shit. Anyway, everyone stop listening. The Root is like it's a black-run website. It's a FUBU type website.
Okay.
Right? So every article is like, promote the black diaspora, et cetera. That one posits, we don't have a gun problem. We have a white people problem.
I mean, young black men don't have the greatest track record with guns either.
But that's like, I hate to call it like basic crime, normal crime, but that's a crime that crops up in a poor community.
Yeah.
This is in relation to the people who walk into churches and universities and movie theaters or set up outside concerts or walk into nightclubs and start knowing people down. You have your occasional Omar Mateen, mm-hmm. who people still conflate that with radical Islam when that was a self-hating gay guy who was in the closet.
Yes.
No one wants to talk about that shit because it doesn't fit your neat little narrative. But everything else, you got your Dylan Roof at the church. You got the dude in Vegas, this bomber and this guy here. Going all the way back to Ted Kaczynski, Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's...
All of our homegrown weirdos are always
seemingly
just disenfranchised white people.
Which is, so now, when I'm all for automation in terms of driving, I'm all for self-driving cars. I can't wait to when everything's self-driving and then traffic jams, traffic accidents. Yeah, it's all reduced to practically zero, right? It's going to be great. It's a utopia of transportation. That will come with a big price. And one of those big prices is that there are 94 million truck drivers in this country, and they will be the first people to lose their jobs in the automation.
Immediately.
Like, trucks will be the first thing automated.
Yeah.
Taxis are next, and then just all cars. Mm-hmm. So truck drivers will be losing their jobs across the country. 94 million of them. A extremely large percentage, like over 90% of those truck drivers, are white middle-aged men who are undereducated.
Well, they need to learn how to fix their trucks.
No, trucks are like Tesla trucks. They started rolling out the Tesla trucks, the self-driving Teslas. And I was talking to Tom over at OBP, and he said, I forgot who he was talking to, or it was an interview with someone, a mechanic who works on trucks. Was like, I'm done. In 5 years, I'm done.
Shit.
Yeah, mechanics are done too. Because we were talking about UBI. Universal basic income. Yeah. And now that's going to have to be a thing. And Republicans are going to have to get behind that piece of socialism if they want capitalism to continue.
They're not going to do it. They're just going to let people get poor and angry. And then the pitchforks come.
Pitchforks will have to come because there will be no more economy. There's no more. If there's no more distribution of money, everything's going to cease to work. Mm-hmm. There has to be UBI. And we're barreling towards that inevitability.
See how that all works out.
Yeah, we will be seen, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we will. Let's wrap it all up with a nice pretty bow. All that to say...
I'm trying to say.
Can't be racist against white people. It's impossible. To be racist against white people. Let's see here. I got my Blade Runner 2049 Funkos.
All but one?
All but one, but he's coming. My sapper with the helmet is coming. So
all over your face.
You can, all over my face, I'll be like, aww. And he's going to be like, now you've seen a miracle.
Exactly what he's going to say.
People have seen the movie, you're laughing at that. You're laughing at that one. Yeah, man, I got them. And then there'll be the only Funkos I'll buy from this point forward. And then any Funkos that are gifted to me, I don't know, maybe I'll re-gift them. Or I only have three other ones that are now, like, so disparate. Swedish Chef, Michelangelo, and Mr. Peanut Butter.
Mr. Peanut Butter is awesome.
Mr. That's my, of my non-Blade Runner ones, that's my favorite one by far, to Mr. Peanut Butter. By far. My mom gave me that Michelangelo one, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and for the longest time, that was the only Funko I had. I was like, I'm not gonna buy these fucking things. But then I got that goddamn Deckard through the Fandango VIP thing. Yep. And I was like, I like it. It's Blade Runner. It's a tiny old Harrison Ford, and he looks tired.
He does.
So I got me a weird beard Ryan Gosling. He doesn't have that much of a beard in the movie, but they bearded him up for the thing, and got me my Sapper and my Wallace and my Joy. You got me Love.
Yes, I did.
With the awesome...
with her missile glasses.
The missile glasses. Drone missile glasses. That's fucking cool. So I'm like, my Sapper. Yeah. Did it just stop recording? Or did it just stop recording? Right. What was that, what you were saying?
I said I'd yet to spend any more than $11 on one of those Funko Pops.
$11 on one?
Yeah.
What's the most expensive one you got?
That's MSRP. That's $10.99.
Why was it $10.99?
Well, because I got it at the comic shop.
Yeah, but they're not all $10.99. Like, I mean, some of those MSRP, are they all $10.99? I don't think they are. Like, if it's a standard size, are they all $10.99?
Yeah, that's the manufactured suggested retail price.
Right. But, I mean, for all... Because that's like your standard size one, right?
Yeah.
But then they have some that are
got 6 inches.
Six is bigger. Yeah.
That those are three.
Those are three.
Yeah. So six is two times.
I've seen.
And also like.
And I've seen some that are like sets that come with like items or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes I've seen the sets. I've also seen they have vehicles as well.
Yes, vehicles. Yes, no. Yes. I saw one that's like a three-piece set. It's a Rancor from Return of the Jedi. Yep. It's like that big.
They did a lot of Star Wars ones like that. I also saw an Aladdin one. With Genie and Aladdin when they're doing the game show.
Oh, that sounds fun. That's cool.
I got a bunch. I mean, I got 3, 6. Nah, I got like probably 12 of them now.
Did you get them all at the? Are they all like $10 or whatever comic shop?
Oh no, I mean some of them I got on Amazon for cheaper because.
Which one did you see at the store? Like I get that one.
The Lion Cat from Saga.
I saw the Colosseum of Comics. A lot of
the Saga ones just came out.
There's like a whole section of Saga.
Yeah, it's the new Brian. It's the Brian K. Vaughan.
I went there to. BKB. It's a new BKB. I went there looking for because he said he saw some Blade Runner ones over there. So I went there. I dropped in because I was in the neighborhood, and all they had was a Deckard. They had one Deckard. I was like, gah! But I was right next to Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. I was like, ooh! It's like, no.
No, see,
exactly. Blade Runner only.
That's the thing with the Funko, especially if you're looking online. Like,
there's so many.
Yeah, there's.
I was holding a Queen Alien from Aliens in my hand for like 5 minutes. Like, just looking, it was big. I was like, oh, this thing looks cool. This thing looks cool as fuck.
They made a 6-inch Balrog from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, really? The Balrog?
The big fire monster.
From the first one.
Yeah. With the whip.
Yeah.
And they made a huge 6-inch one.
I think it's cool as fuck.
It's fun. Dude, it looks awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, they have a ton of really cool ones.
I mean, I want that Dr. Ian Malcolm, the sexy injured one.
Sexy one. Sexy Malcolm. Sexy injured Malcolm.
Sexy injured Malcolm.
Shirtless. Yep. Shirt open. Not
shirt open. No, not yep.
It's like, I'm listening.
He is.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
There's they got a bunch of... Like, if you're into Deadpool, dude.
Yeah, I've seen the Deadpool ones.
The amount of Deadpool. Look
all
up,
the Deadpool variants, yeah.
Look up Playtime Deadpool Funko.
A Playtime one?
No, it's a series.
Oh, okay, that's all the series.
It's
you can see all the different ones.
It's
okay.
More than one.
Yeah, because at the shop they had a few of them. I was like, oh,
they really went ham with Deadpool.
Speaking of Deadpool.
There are three different Deadpool Bob Ross ones. Three different Deadpool Bob Ross Funkos.
Deadpool Bob Ross.
Yeah.
I saw
Not just Bob Ross. Yeah, Deadpool Bob Ross.
I saw Bob Ross.
Yeah.
And then I saw Deadpool.
Yep.
What is it, Deadpool Bob Ross?
It's coming out soon. Yeah, I think like in a month or two.
That's ridiculous.
Deadpool Bob Ross.
I saw the Deadpool 2 trailer in front of something. Not the new one. I haven't watched a new one.
I watched the new one today.
I'm like, a lot of these movies, if I see it in front of them in a movie theater, then I'll watch it.
But here's
but if at home, I'm not going to watch them.
I watched.
I still have yet to see that new Avengers trailer.
Fucking, I have not seen the new Avengers trailer.
No, I mean, even my, I got a 50-inch TV. I could get my face right up to it if I wanted to. And no, man, it's like, no, I want to wait. I'm going to have.
I mean, I figure I'm going to see
patience, that restraint.
I have a feeling I'm going to be seeing that Deadpool trailer on a big screen very soon.
Probably.
Yeah. So,
well, it's a Fox movie. You see any Fox movies?
Exactly. And I haven't seen anything about it yet. So,
but
this is kind of like my, besides, you know, the Josh Brolin Deadpool cable pictures during.
Well, there's also the there's a teaser that came out.
I never saw the teaser.
There's actually two teasers that came out, and the longer one is the one that I did watch that one online, and then because it was your first real look at like Cable in motion. But then I also saw that it had some sort of Deadpool type joke in it, and the joke is that the movie starts looking like some crazy movie, unless you know it's Deadpool 2 and Cable and all that. Looks like some wild sci-fi movie starring Josh Brolin. It's like I live in a world of blood and pain. Something like that.
It is a crazy,
but it's like, what is this, like overly serious? You know, it looks like what is this? This looks ridiculous. And then Josh Brolin, like his character takes a turn, and his arm, his robo arm, is a green sleeve.
Yeah.
And Deadpool's like, "What? Are you kidding me? They forgot to finish the effect." And then he's like, "All right, you guys finish it, and then I'll take over from here." And then it's him standing in front of like a diorama that he made, and he has a Deadpool toy and a Cable toy, and he's like, "Wah, wah," and he's fighting together. And it's like 10 seconds, it's like, "Oh, with the crotches." Then it's like, "Oh, you guys are done. The effect is done. Okay, cool." And then it goes back to the shot, and you see the finished effect. Yeah. And then it's like, then a quick teaser of the trailer. You see, like, Terry Crews. You're like, "Is that Terry Crews?"
Yes, it is.
I saw that. I was like, "Oh, this is really funny." And then I saw that in the theater with, like, a decent amount of people. I can't remember what the movie was, though. That's important because it got, like, no reaction. I was shocked.
Wow.
Man, I thought even laughter or something. It was like, no, people were not interested. And then reported online that you know, and we talk about this. Movies do reshoots all the time. Schedule the reshoots. Yeah. It's like
okay, so we missed this. The light was fucked up on that.
Right.
The camera had bad exposure on this one.
Or you know what? Maybe we if we add this scene in here,
this will make a little bit more sense.
It'll
now.
Make more sense. And yeah. It's like, oh, okay. We literally like we just missed something that it's just a fix of little things. And then sometimes it's like Star Wars Rogue One where
we need to fix like this whole movie.
Yeah, they fire a director and then they bring in Tony Gilroy and then you watch the trailer, you're like 40% of this trailer isn't in the movie. Deadpool 2. Test screenings. Reportedly disastrous. Reportedly people, what is this?
What?
Yes. Go do the reshoots. They go to reshoots. Everyone's freaking out. No, people are freaking out. They talk to the girl, Hillebrand or whatever, Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Like, what are you thinking of this? What is she going to say? Of course, she's like, "No, it's fine. The reshoots are scheduled. It's coming together great. We're having a great time." So that word got out there. Bad buzz. Not good. So Fox did something unusual to combat it. And what they did was they had some more test screens. That's not unusual. What's unusual is they released the scores. And they released it, and they released the scores of the original Deadpool. And they're like, "We did another test screening." The original Deadpool test screened at 93-94%. This one just test screened at 98%. So people are going to flip out for it, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So how much of that is bullshit? I don't know. What can you believe? It's all film conjecture. Follow my new podcast, Film Conjecture. We will be...
You've been doing it for 5 years, Chris.
Oh, that's right. Just like that title better.
It's just... Sometimes we're wrong, but we're right. We're considerably often.
We're generally pretty right. I'm looking forward to Deadpool 2. I think it's going to be great because of the director, David Leitch.
If the movie can keep up the hype of this trailer that I just saw today, I am fucking super excited.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely waiting. I'm going to wait on that trailer. I'm sure it looks dope.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like, it's even better, guys. Trust us, it's even better. Well,
it, seriously, it looks like there's more action, like because the original Deadpool.
Well, they have a little more money too.
Exactly. So you know, the original Deadpool, yes, there was action, but it's not. It wasn't like an. I guess it was an action movie, but it's not like an action.
It's also it's an origin comic story.
Exactly. There were like two action scenes, but they were a little bit prolonged, I guess.
And yeah, but then also it does a thing where the one at the end is like super CG. You know, he's like on the side of a giant structure, and
yeah,
you know what we're liking about Deadpool is the character stuff, the small stuff, mm-hmm. the, you know, things like
the way,
that.
The way he looks at the screen and tells me how he's going to kill somebody, and then he does it, and then I laugh because it was funny.
You're not supposed to break the fourth wall in movies, Drew.
Nope, but Deadpool's been doing it in comic books since. I mean, the 90s. So, he's an OG.
Why you stop talking? Keep talking.
I don't have anything more to say. that's kind of.
It's called vamping. You gotta vamp.
I can't vamp very well. I'm not a vamp, Chris.
You've been doing this for 5 years!
Does it look like I have fangs? Do I look like a vamp to you? I know. See, like I said, it's grasping at straws here, buddy.
I just had to fix the aquarium. We got a new aquarium here in the studio, and the filter
percolator.
It wasn't working. Mm. The fish are getting sad, so I had to fix it. I had to blow some bubbles in there. I don't think it got picked up on the mic.
I think it did.
I mean, the aquarium's all the way over there. Do people heard it?
It's a loud aquarium.
I had to walk across the room. I had to bring my mic with me. It's a pain in the ass. Uh-huh. I hope those fish appreciate it.
They don't.
Guys, this is the end of the episode.